From the land of the Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 23rd day of September 2024. It's Fall Fund Drive. Dial this number now with your pledge of financial support for Illinois Public Media and the Agricultural Programming, 217-244-9455, or go online at willgive.org. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel and Chad Hart, and we'll discuss the weather with Mark Russo of Everstream Analytics.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Hey, dial that number, 217-244-9455, or go online to willgive.org to pledge your financial support. I like the $120 level. It's a great place to start. $40 is fine. More is fantastic. Whatever you can give is perfect. And again, 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455. Or at willgive.org. In Chicago, it was an up day. Futures in the corn were up around 11 cents. Soybeans were up 26 to 27 cents. And wheat futures were up, about 13 for the day. Here to talk about that is Kurt Kimmel. He's with agmarket.net. Hi, Kurt. It's a good Monday.
Yeah, as our old friend from Waco would say, giddy up. So it was a good day to see some green here as we start to enter harvest particularly. So we'll see if we can follow through. Is this a 1 day or 2-3 day event? We're fixing to find out. But, you know, most of the news was supportive. Nothing real big that we didn't really catch on to. We saw, you know, continued dry concerns in the southern hemisphere. But then you sow in the dust and watch the bins bust. So they're still early in their growing season, and they have some chances, some timely rains, but there's a little urgency there to lighten up on the short side. Talk of port strikes in Canada. I don't know if that's going to last more than a day or so, but that might have given the market a little confidence. But two, we saw renewed buying or a little bit of interest from unknown destination to Asia. Saw 165,000 ton soybean sell this morning. And ideas are that this could probably continue through the week because next week is going to be their golden week. And there's going to be a lot of financial institutions there in China off on holiday. So I think we're just seeing all this stuff kind of come together here. You know, uncertainty of the hurricane coming up through the Gulf region again, anywhere from 6 to 9 inches of rain in that Delta area, that could be a little bit too much rain. So all these factors kind of came together to give a big day in the November bean contract. We traded close to 200,000 contracts in November bean futures, and that's probably the largest volume we've seen in quite some time. This could be a situation where we've taken quite a bit of the short out of the market ahead of end of the quarter here next week.
Well, we have a grain stocks report. I'll get to that in just a second. But what are you seeing in the corn market at this point?
Just kind of following through. It's taken the back seat for the most part. We've basically seen a situation where there's quite a bit of active corn harvest around. We've seen estimates anywhere from on corn, you know, the 225s clear up to 280. Kind of seems the eastern belt here is the one that's kind of hit and miss, and seeing a little bit of struggling on some of these yields. The pattern or area, you get eastern half of Illinois, you know, a little tar spot just ran out of moisture, but western Illinois just remains strong. A lot of 280, 290 bushel corn yields in those regions there. So we'll see if that trend continues here as we move into the later part of next week. Expectations this afternoon, corn harvest 16%. Last year we were 15%, so we're moving along right along at the average pace. Soybean harvest is expected to be 13%. Last year we were at 12%, so making some pretty good headway there. Wheat seedings, plantings 26%. That's about where we were last year. Looking out the window here, we're getting a little moisture here in Bloomington Normal. And that's quite welcome because some of these bean harvests that taking a place is showing some of this stuff down below 7%. So that's, we need a little bit of moisture back in the bean crop.
I suppose agmarket.net has been toying with what the grain stocks might look like. This is the one time of year where you can take the grain stocks number released, which comes out next Monday, and just drop that into the beginning stocks for the next year and recalculate altogether. What do you think things look like for corn and soybeans?
Yeah, we'll see. We're wrapping up this old crop here. We'll see where those numbers come in. We'll have our fundamental meeting here this afternoon, and hopefully they'll have some estimates out here as we move into next week. Sometimes these grain stocks reports could be fairly large as far as market movement. So we'll see what those estimates are, see where the numbers fall. But we've got to remember we have quite a bit of harvest activity to go through, and that's going to satisfy near-term needs.
And finally, thank you so much for all that you've done for the radio station over the years and volunteering each and every Monday. Each of you analysts are important to myself, to the station, and of course to our listeners, and it makes it big difference for us and for them, I believe. And I do appreciate what you when you spend the time with us.
Well, thank you, Todd. It's a great honor and pleasure to be part of the program. I get quite a bit out of it to be able to, you know, visit with producers clear across the central part of the Midwest here, and also too being able to visit with the other analysts you have on the program. It's the ability to be able to share different type of marketing ideas and strategies so everybody can have some type of beneficial thing to go with.
Thank you much. That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He is with agmarket.net. Well, it is the beginning of our fall fun drive. Just for a few days this week, we're going to ask you to dial this number, 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL, and make your support, pledge of support, financially, for the agricultural programming that comes to you each and every business day here from Illinois Public Media. Thank you for all those who've already given, have given in the past, and for you as you dial that number, 217-244-9455. Now, I know you tune in for the weather and the academics and the analyst, but I have to tell you, I really like to talk to the agricultural economist. You probably figured that out over the years, because they're my ballast. Anytime something is happening in the marketplace, I know that each and every week of the year, I'm going to talk to a land-grant university agricultural economist on a Monday, and that will give me my bearings. It'll keep me so that I am very straight and narrow as it relates to the marketplace. People like Joe Jansen from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, Ed Ossett at the University of Minnesota, Frain Olson at North Dakota State University, and Ben Brown from FAPRI and the University of Missouri, along with Chad Hart, who joins us today. He's at Iowa State University in Ames. I hope this makes a difference for you. If it does, dial that number now, 217-244-9455. I know it's one of the things that is very unique about the ag programming here at Illinois Public Media. Because we're on a land-grant university, we're part of the system. It's just what we do, and we try to work really hard for you, the farmer, to make sure that you have the best information going. And for me, talking to the land-grant ag economist is just a joy. And again, it just really keeps me positioned when the market is moving fast and furiously most days, especially at the tops and the bottom of the market. Chad Hart is now here. He's at Iowa State University. Thank you, Chad, for all the work you've done over the years and for being with us here today on Illinois Public Media.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be with you today. And as I listen to that, I mean, you know, what you also get to is, you know, as you talked about, you know, all the folks you talk to besides myself here, you get that picture beyond just the backyard, the idea of seeing a national picture on what's happening within agriculture across crops and livestock. That's incredibly valuable to have, especially as we deal with as turbulent a market as we're going through right now.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about this turbulence. There is a thought that we have made a bottom or are making a bottom in the market for both corn and soybeans. Let's start with just how the crop harvest is going with you, and then maybe you can talk a little bit about where you think things are.
Well, that's the when I'm looking at harvest here in central Iowa, it has begun in earnest. We are seeing some crops being pulled out of the field now. In fact, if anything, in talking with producers, it's a little drier than they thought it was. I mean, this crop really accelerated here at the end of grain fill period and has dried down very quickly. And so that's helping move harvest along here. And at the same time, too, though, we know we're looking at some of the biggest crops we've ever seen. And so that's what helped us put in that low that we saw about a month ago now in the marketplace, is because we know we're looking at a record yielding corn crop, a record yielding in actually in terms of production bushels, a record soybean crop as well. And so supplies are plentiful.
I have a question about the corn crop, old crop corn that was coming into the marketplace. It appears to me that elevators have given farmers much more time this year than maybe they have in the past to move that crop. I've heard as late as October 1st. And so I'm wondering how that changed, or if it has all, the hedge pressure in the marketplace, and if that's changed anything for the next month when a lot of the new crop corn will come into the marketplace.
Well, it definitely did change things. And if you want to think of it this way, I mean, what we have seen is that the elevators, you know, our merchandisers had the ability to do that, because when we're looking at demand, especially on the corn side, it has remained fairly robust here as we move through the spring and summer. We continue to see USDA up the ethanol and the export numbers. In fact, they did that with the September report here, so that we continue to see that need to pull corn through the system here as we make the transition from old to new crop. That helped, you know, basically keep basis levels a little stronger, deeper into the fall than one would expect, especially given the record crops we believe we've got coming towards us here. And so that, in the, you know, especially in a down year like this, when it comes to the futures price, that helped create at least a little positive news when we look at the basis levels.
Does that mean when the off-farm or on-farm supplies move to the off-farm facilities, and this will be for September 1 for the grain stocks, that last quarterly grain stocks report coming up next Monday, that USDA will have a better sense of what's left and available? And do you think that suggests either a bigger number or a smaller number than expected?
Well, I think right now my expectation is probably a little smaller number, because as we look here, like I say, not only do we see this movement from on farm to off farm, but like I say, we continue to see USDA push that out into what we're seeing on the usage side, that these crops are not just sitting there moving from on-farm to off-farm, but they're moving through our off-farm facilities to get to those end users here as we wrapped up the 2023 marketing year.
Why do you suppose, switching crops to soybeans, that soybeans have been rallying as of late? They're up, what, 25 cents as we talk on this Monday?
Well, I think it's a combination of we're seeing weather pressures, you know, around the globe. We're seeing, you know, at least what I'm hearing here in central Iowa is we're seeing a crop that's coming in, like say, a little drier. And so we may be seeing a little bit more shatter, you know, some of those harvest problems that maybe will shave a few bushels off as well. And we continue to see usage, especially domestically, that is fairly robust. And, you know, as you look at USDA's projections, they show that crush demand building by 130 million bushels as we move through to the 2024 marketing year. So that's, you put that recipe together, and that helps create at least some short-term support in the market.
So do you think the market really is considering shatter? I mean, it could leave one or two bushels, I suppose, in the field if the combine's not set right, and that clearly you can see that sometimes after harvest. Is that partially what the trades are looking at this time?
Well, I think it's more, let's call it, that's the third reason out of the three I give, that, as opposed to the first one. But it's one of these deals of anything that helps either shrink supplies right now or increase usage is helping provide at least some positive momentum out there. Because the thing, and I'll say this for both crops, when we look at where the the big balance sheet table stand right now. Both corn and soybeans are looking at a 200 million bushel gap between production and total use right now. 200 million bushels between getting, you know, right now a situation where we're staring at building ending stocks to getting to, let's call it, break even stocks to maybe even starting to shrink ending stocks. So it doesn't take many changes to cause a 200 million bushel shift between those two numbers.
What do you see going forward to the harvest season?
I think what we've been seeing over the past, you know, let's call it month, is what we'll continue to see here. I think these, you know, we'll see continued volatility here, but I think these prices are trying to work their way back up because demand, you know, the usage side is pretty strong right now, with the exception of probably soybean exports lagging behind. And we know that's a China problem specifically here. When we're looking outside of China, we have been able to see some growth in sales internationally. We've seen strong domestic usage as we look down the line here. And that's helping, like I say, create a scenario where we're working on slowly rising prices as we move through the fall and winter time here.
When I was talking to some of your agricultural economist colleagues at North Dakota State, off mic, we were discussing China and their intentions as it's related to the tariffs that could come under Trump administration, or the tariffs that have already been put in place by the Biden administration and a continuation under a Harris administration, that they're waiting, he thought, to maybe put a tariff in place on soybeans until after the election. Have you thought through that process and what that means for the marketplace and how producers should consider marketing soybean?
Well, that's the deal. I think as we look at the election, you know, especially in the case of soybeans with China, we know the U.S. has already moved to put tariffs in place. We know China has yet to respond, but we definitely know they will respond. And so it's more the question of, okay, as we're looking forward here, how much damage can those tariffs do? In a certain sense, I'll frame it this way. We're already seeing some of that damage today. So it's not like we're going into the tariff situation that we faced back in 2017 and 18, that we've already seen sales from China back off fairly significantly over the past 2 years. While they are, yes, still the biggest market we have there, they're not the strategic leader that they were 7-8 years ago. So, you know, I think, yeah, we do have to take that into account as we look at marketing, knowing that the growth that we're going to need in the soybean market is going to have to come from outside of China if you're looking at exports. And that's why we continue to lean hard on the domestic crush demand here locally to help offset those losses we're seeing in China.
Is it still extraordinarily strong domestic crush?
It still is. I mean, you know, I think what we're trying to figure out now is, are we starting to reach sort of a plateauing level? A lot of the growth that we've got in crush has been directed towards renewable diesel production. But that said, that renewable diesel market to me is approaching a very critical level at about 5 billion gallons of production per year, because that's roughly the amount that's needed as we look at those West Coast markets where we're able to truly market, you know, renewable diesel in a somewhat competitive manner against regular petroleum diesel.
Thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Chad Hart is an agricultural economist at Iowa State University Extension. Have you dialed that number yet? Hope so. 217-244-9455, or go online to WILLGive. That's willgive.org. Now, Mark Russo is here. He's with Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thank you for being here. Let's talk a little bit about the weather for the day. How are you?
I'm doing great, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Begin in the Midwest. Well, let's not begin in the Midwest. Let's actually start with the hurricanes. It is hurricane season. There's another one arriving. Will it help to put a bit more water into the Mississippi River at some point?
Well, Todd, I guess the quick answer is no with that, but certainly we need to keep a close eye on developing Hurricane Helene. Actually has not quite formed yet, but all indications point towards the storm being named, ultimately intensifying into a hurricane and tracking most likely into the Florida Panhandle region coming up later on this week. Now, some of the impacts here with this developing storm system, it does not look like the Port of New Orleans will be directly impacted by the storm. Could be some indirect impacts here, but the main ag belt that looks to be impacted will be the southeast, especially southern Georgia and southern Alabama. So soybeans, corn, cotton in those areas could potentially see some issues there. And then again, some of the outskirts of the rain move into the Ohio River Valley and southern Midwest, but it does not look like it's going to be enough to cause any kind of issues for unharvested crops. And from a river level standpoint, we'll do very little to change the low water levels currently seeing.
Can you tell me about rainfall across the Midwest? We've had a little, finally.
Yeah, with the pattern here coming up, where you have, one storm system here today and tomorrow, and then some of the rainfall here later on this week, but kind of putting everything together from a rainfall total standpoint, it's looking like much of the central and eastern Corn Belt will pick up amounts this week, ranging anywhere from 1 to 3 inches. Some of the best rains actually look to be in and around Missouri, and then also a few areas there within the Ohio River Valley.
And then turn your attention to South America. Brazil's waiting for the rains to come. Are they still?
Looks like things are delayed here with the start of the monsoon or summer monsoon or rainy season across Brazil. What we saw over the weekend is that model guidance did back off with rain activity developing. Initially looked like the early part or the first week of October. That's now pushed back to the second week. So as a result of that, we are seeing kind of ridgier conditions linger longer across areas of center west Brazil. So this ongoing heat wave, the lack of the start of the rainy season, at least looks to continue a little bit deeper into October.
Yeah, thank you much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Hey, have you dialed in yet? I like the $120 level, by the way. With your pledge of financial support to the ag programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media, we have six meteorologists or climatologists that you hear on a regular basis. Each and every week, we talk to somebody about the markets and the weather. If it makes a difference to you, help make a difference to us by pledging that financial support right now at 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-BIG-WILL or online at willgive.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. And thank you